You know, say 10 Hail Marys and 5 All Our Fathers. That's satisfaction. That's works of satisfaction. Contrition and satisfaction are both penitential works. They're something you do. And Luther the monk was really, really focused on contrition, on hating himself, confessing his sin, looking deep in his heart and seeing what a terrible, terrible sinner is, and so he could hate that. He also did some works of satisfaction, but it was the contrition that had him tied up in knots. Because what he was, in effect, trying to do was to be so contrite, to have so much penance in his heart that God had to justify him. So it was this inner work of penance that was so deadly. And that's why I think the sacrament of penance was so good for him. He was too inward. He was too focused on this inward change in his heart by trying to do it by his own self, by looking at himself. And you don't change yourself by looking at yourself, the mature Luther thinks. You don't change who you are by looking deep within. You look outside of yourself at Christ. So something had to get him looking outside of himself. And what it was, I think, was the fourth part of the sacrament of penance, the absolution, as I've mentioned, where the priest says, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Luther argues in his work on the sacrament of penance in 1518 and 1519, that word of absolution is Christ's word. It's Christ saying that. So you don't have a right to say you're a sinner anymore because Christ says otherwise. You have to agree with him, for heaven's sakes. And he's saying that your sins are forgiven. So you'd better believe you're forgiven. You better, it's funny. In essence, you don't have a choice about it, right? It's Jesus saying this to you, so you have to believe it. Luther never says make a decision for Christ. Make a choice. Believe, you know, make a decision to believe, right? That, other Protestants say that. Luther never does that. You have to believe it, Luther says, because it's Christ saying it. You going to call him a liar? Do you dare call God a liar to his face? All right, then you have to believe that you're forgiven. It's actually very nice. If you're one of those people who has a hard time thinking, oh, how can I make a decision in faith? How can I be sure that my faith is real? How can I have a real choice for God? You can tie yourself up in psychological knots, I think, the same way you tie yourself up in knots when you're young Luther trying to confess his sins so much. So you need this external thing which says, look, you don't have a choice about this. Right? You're a forgiven sinner. That's what God says. You're going to believe that or not, or you're going to call him a liar. So it's kind of, the way I put it from Karl Barth, who says this, it's a must in service of a may. You must believe that God loves you and you're a forgiven sinner because he says so and you don't want to call him a liar. That's rather nice, right? You know, God twists your arm and says, are you going to believe that I love you down to the bottom of your soul or not? Or are you going to call me a liar? What's it going to be? It took that much pressure, I think, to get Luther out of his inwardness, this contrition where he's constantly looking at himself and trying to find all these sins. He needed someone to say, wake up, Martin! Listen to me! Stop looking at yourself and listen to me! I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and Holy Spirit. Are you going to believe that for a change? Right? That's justification by faith alone. Now, why is it that this absolution, this sacramental thing that the priest does, is Christ's word? Why would you believe that? Well, you look at the Bible, Luther says, and here Christ says to Peter, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the word for loose is the word for absolution. Right? It turns out lusis solvere, or so you absolve comes from this verb to loose. So what you absolve on earth is absolved in heaven, Jesus says to Peter. And Luther thinks that means not just that Peter can do this, but that any Christian can do it. You don't even have to be a priest. You can be a woman or a child, Luther says. He's getting radical already. He's already working on the notion of the priesthood of all believers. Any Christian can absolve you of your sins, can say, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or can assure you, your sins are forgiven in Christ's name. Christ himself says that's his word because he says, if you loose someone's sins on earth, they're loosed in heaven. So Christ's promise in the Bible backs up Christ's word in the sacrament. Right? There's two words of Christ here. The promise in the Bible, which then authorizes this word in the sacrament. The sacramental word is not the priest's word. It's not the church's word. It's Christ's word because he said so, in effect. Just like in the Eucharist, when the priest says, this is my body given for you, that's Christ speaking, not the priest. Hear it as God's word, Luther says. So what happens when you hear this as God's word? Let me read you how this sounds, because I read a little bit of the lectures on Paul's letter to the Romans in 1516, all about self-hatred. Listen to how different this sounds. This is only 2 years later. When talking about the word of absolution, Luther says, "This holy, comforting, and gracious word of God must enter deeply into the heart of every Christian, where he may, with great gratitude, let it become part of him." Instead of identifying and agreeing with a word of accusation, you identify and agree with a gracious and comforting word. You're supposed to let yourself be comforted. God himself wants to comfort you. Who are you to disagree? And notice, it's an external word.